What's up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I am one of your hosts, Charles T. Hamilton. We'll be joined by co-host Wes Goldberg in just a minute. The Dubs getting ready to take on the Houston Rockets tonight in Houston. Also, a look behind the scenes from Wes Goldberg, who is also a Warriors beat writer, giving us a little access, a little peek behind the curtain. It's all coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's good, everybody? Welcome in to Locked On Warriors. Charles T. Hamilton here. Got Wes Goldberg joining me in just a minute. The Dubs are taking on the Houston Rockets tonight in what seems like a lopsided matchup, but there's reasons for optimism. I'm going to tell you why in just a minute, but first, let's bring on co-host Wes Goldberg. Wes, what's up, man? So let's just start it off. Are you in Houston already? You touched down in H-Town already?
I have. Just a couple hours ago, got to the hotel, got a quick workout in, and now I'm ready to go.
So this is your first, before we get into all the Warrior stuff, this is your first year as a beat writer, right?
This is my first year as a beat writer. This is my first time in Houston, so yeah.
That's what I was going to ask, you know, the travel. So first time in Houston, obviously first time going to the Rockets Arena, stuff like right. That. I mean, it's got to be pretty cool.
No, I mean, I'm really excited to go see James Harden in his, you know, home environment. But, you know, the most I know about Houston is just Travis Scott. That's like the most I know about Houston. It's just all from his album. So I think I'm going to learn a little bit more. It's not exactly what I pictured based off of Houston Fornication, but here we are. Yeah.
I mean, Travis Scott, he's got you covered. I think that's it. I think you're good. So I guess we should do some game talk, I guess. But a little lopsided matchup, you would imagine, the Rockets against the Warriors. But the thing is, this Rockets team hasn't come together in the way that some people thought, at least. I know some people were split. I'm more on the pessimistic side about this team and the Russell Westbrook, James Harden pairing. And it's kind of been a slow start for Harden, at least. His, you know, percentages are down. He'll get it together eventually. But defensively, they are almost on the Warriors level defensively. I mean, what have you seen from the Rockets so far early in this year?
This is just what the Rockets do. They start slow. James Harden particularly starts slow with his shooting, and the defense is always bad to start the season. This is the same script that they followed last year. The only difference is that they swapped Russell Westbrook for Chris Paul. That's the only difference. So they got it together towards the end of last year. Things got unhinged in playoffs, as they typically do. But as far as the regular season went, everything was fine. James Harden was an MVP candidate right there with Giannis. So I'm not really concerned at all about Houston. I think, like, I'm not concerned with them this season. I think I have, like, overarching concerns with them as far as ownership and management. And is this team really ever going to win a championship? I don't know that the Rockets will ever win a championship, but my level of concern isn't such that it's different than any other level of concern I've ever had with this team. It's not any immediate concerns. And I've actually been pretty bullish on the Rockets, so maybe I'm a little biased here because I'm not concerned really at all with the Harden-Westbrook fit. Maybe that's a me thing. I just think that there's too much talent there for it not to work out. But overall, this is just what we've seen from the Rockets to start the year for the last few years.
So you were fine with and maybe even high on the pairing of Russ.
I loved it.
Okay.
Oh, my God, yeah. Wow. I mean, the thing is with superstar pairings, I think one of the keys is they've got to actually want to play together. I think when the Miami Heat got together with that big three, and have I now, quick aside, have I mentioned the Heat on every Locked On Warriors podcast so far? I think I have.
Well, now it's just about, like, how soon. I think we're about 5 minutes in.
That's the over-under now. When they came together, they came together because they wanted to come together. You know, you've seen all these other superstar pairings, super teams kind of form based on management, based on trades being executed and things like that. We saw that fall apart in Boston last year. We've seen, you know, in Golden State, it worked, but it was a short run with Kevin Durant, you know, and it was with the way it broke up, there's a lot of animosity as opposed to what happened in Miami. So I think in Houston's case, you've got two guys who legitimately wanted to play together. You have a guy like Harden who legitimately did not want to play with Chris Paul anymore. So that's an upgrade right there. And they knew each other. They had a history together and they wanted to play together. And so I think that with those types of pairings, when you have two guys that want to play together, they typically want to make it work. So I'm not concerned with that. I know that there's like X's and O's and fit and can Russell Westbrook play off the ball and all this stuff, but there's so much other, I know that shooting is like the premium right now, but there's so many other things that go into basketball that you can work with. They're using the two of them and screening to get, like they screen for each other a lot early in the season. I think that's really smart by Mike D'Antoni. You've got Russell Westbrook cutting. You got him on the ball a lot, which allows James Harden to play off the ball a little bit more. That's great for maintenance and things like that. So the reason I like the Westbrook trade the most is because of the longevity it gives this Rockets team. Because Chris Paul would break down every single year in the playoffs. Westbrook's one of the most durable dudes in the league, right? So he's not going to break down in the playoffs. He's going to go further in the playoffs than he has in a really long time. And so I think just having Westbrook versus having injured Chris Paul in and of itself is an upgrade, regardless of the fit.
Yeah, no, I mean, the thing with me, and we'll, you know, stop talking about the Rockets in just a minute, get to the Dubs, but I wouldn't be surprised if they're the one seed, win 60 games. It's just a team I don't trust in the playoffs for, you know, obvious reasons. The history speaks to itself. But, you know, again, you put two elite talents together that want to play together, it's usually going to work out to a pretty high extent, I guess you could say.
I mean, the floor is pretty high for that team. I don't know how high the ceiling is, so I agree with you. I mean, push comes to shove, I don't trust that team in the playoff setting. But the floor is still pretty high because you're always going to have an MVP-caliber point guard on the floor at all times. Period, end of story. And they're the only team in the league that could say that. And exactly. I think that gives them an inherent advantage on an 82-game season.
That's kind of how I feel about the Lakers, too. But that's another topic for another day. We're going to get into the matchup between the Warriors and Rockets and just how the Warriors might match up against a team that's pretty bad defensively. And maybe they got a shot. But first, Manscaped is number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code LOCKEDON at manscaped.com. That is code LOCKEDON at manscaped.com. All right, Wes, we talked about the Rockets and just kind of how they're built, and I think we're pretty much on the same page as far as their talent goes. And even though they have lost some of their punch off the bench, you know, like Ben McLemore is getting a lot of time there, which Ben gets a bad rap. But at the same time, I don't know if I want him getting, you know, being in my every night rotation. But as far as the Warriors are concerned, D'Angelo Russell is going to make the trip, correct? But guys like Kevon Looney and the other injured players are not. Am I right on that?
That's right. Kevon is sitting out at least the Houston game. He's not making the trip to Houston. If he does join the Warriors on this road trip, it's going to either be in Minnesota or Oklahoma. But he's not in Houston right now. D'Angelo Russell is with the team.
So let's just assume that it's the same starting five that we saw against Portland, which is Kai Bowman. Was it Jordan Poole, Eric Pascoe,
Glenn Robinson,
and Willie Cauley-Stein? I think that was the five. It's so random; I can't even remember the five. Like,
it's
for
the
sure.
First,
like, I think
you got to remember it. You got to remember it because it's the first time they've had the same starting lineup in consecutive games all season.
That's a good point. That's a valid point.
This is the new reality.
Seriously, but so they also meant Draymond's not making the trip, correct? He's going to be back.
That's right.
Okay. So, again, we'll assume it's the same starting five, same rotation. And not to get too high off the win against Portland, but the bottom line is any game that I would think the Warriors have a shot in is against a bad defense where it's just going to be run and gun and maybe they can outscore the other team. And that's what the Houston Rockets are right now. Now, offensively, they have a much higher ceiling than the Warriors, and they'll have the tape to go off of for Eric Pascal. I doubt we see him get 34, but I could see it going either way, basically, is what I'm saying. Where's your head at with this matchup?
I think it's a pretty tough matchup on this night. You've got Russell Westbrook. He took the game off. He took the Rockets won in Memphis the other night, and Russell Westbrook didn't play, so he's going to be rested. And then he's got a guy like James Harden, who's going to be a really, really tough cover. They dealt with that with Damian Lillard, but James Harden, you know, is just a little bit of a notch more than that. And then you've got a guy like P.J. Tucker, who, for whatever reason, is going to look at Eric Paschal scoring 34 points in one night and take it as a personal offense and going to do whatever he's going to do whatever he can to lock Eric Paschal down. Now, I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what Paschal being game planned results in, because this will be the first time we ever see it. This is somebody actually going out and game planning against him, but we're going to see it. And to me, more so than the win or the loss on this game, it's how does Paschal react? Is if he's the guy that the Warriors hope that he is, how does he react to a guy like PJ Tucker going out to run, right? That's what we're watching for in this game.
Yeah. It's funny, after that Portland game, you know, I heard a couple different comparisons. We made the easy one to Draymond with Paschal. I heard some people say Paul Millsap, and I also heard some other people say PJ Tucker. So, I mean, that is definitely a matchup to watch. The other ones I'm looking at is like Kai Bowman going up against, again, a pretty poor defensive front or backcourt with Harden and Russ. But also, before we get to that, I just want to say I also agree with you in the sense that obviously Houston has way more talent. And on top of that, I think something the Warriors are going to deal with, and sadly these two-way contract players and rookies are going to have to deal with, is kind of the backlash of the Warriors kicking everyone's ass over the last 5 years, where a team like Houston will probably relish in the fact that they could get a 40-point win over, you know, these Warriors, I guess.
No, that's exactly right, and it's interesting. The guys who have been feeling it have been the guys who weren't even on the team for these championship runs. It's all the newcomers who are actually on the court. They're saying that they feel like there's a target on their back as well, and so the way that they're responding, the way that they're fighting, I think it gives them a little bit more motivation. I think that's what fans are also responding to, is that general, I don't know, grittiness, that toughness, that verve that this team is playing with. I think there's just a lot of motivating factors for this young team, and I'll go back to what I said before. If you're hoping for wins as a Warriors fan, I just think there's so many other things that you should be watching for in regards to, you know, Paschal's development, in regards to this young team and how they just try to stick into some of these games on a night-to-night basis. Those are the things that people should be watching for.
Exactly. Jordan Poole, Kai Bowman, all the young guys, how do they progress is the main storyline. It's not the wins or losses, and I do think it's a tough matchup tonight against Houston, obviously. Is one of the best teams in the Western Conference, and the Western Conference is the far superior conference as well. So, again, we'll be looking for the development, but if they're able to sneak out a win, I'll definitely take it, you know, especially against Houston. I wouldn't hate that.
It feels like hopes are pretty high right now as far as how many games the Warriors can win. I just did a mailbag, and people are like, can we get 30 wins? And I'm like, I still think that's a stretch, but maybe. We'll see.
I'm with you, and that's why I was fine with the Portland win, because, you know, you get the first Chase Center win out of the way. There's plenty of games left to lose, basically, and that they probably will, which, you know, it was a great night, a lot of fun, getting the rookie, 34 points, all that stuff, but there's going to be some rough viewing ahead.
I mean, similar to Portland, the Warriors own the Houston Rockets, too, so maybe there's something there that some sort of inherent build up to an advantage.
We will see. It would be fun. I wouldn't mind it, but I want to talk to you about, you know, you're there, you got the boots on the ground, so I want to maybe get a peek behind the curtain, see what it's like backstage with the Golden State Warriors, so to speak, and we're going to do that in just a minute. Charles T. Hamilton, Wes Goldberg back here on Locked On Warriors. And we are lucky enough to add Wes to Locked On Warriors, especially because he's the newest beat writer for the Golden State Warriors and given us access like we've never had before. Currently in Houston, getting ready for the Warriors-Rockets game tonight. And Wes, I'm going to pass it off to you in just a second and just, you know, give us everything you've seen. But one of the questions I had is just through social media and some postings and interactions we saw during the summer, it seems like guys like Jordan Poole and Eric Paschal have kind of sparked a fast friendship as far as, you know, just spending the time together and being teammates and stuff like that. So I wonder about that. But then on top of that, how is just everyone doing overall, just the team as a unit? How's everyone getting along?
There seems to be a team within the team dynamic happening. Yeah. These young guys have really gravitated towards each other. It helps, by the way, that Eric Paschal and Omari Spellman played at Villanova together for a year. So they have a standing relationship walking into this thing. But then you've got guys like Jordan Poole, who seems to be pretty outgoing as far as interacting with his teammates. Kai Bowman, who's just like sort of the happy to be here kind of guy. Like, can't believe he got actually invited to the party in the first place. And he's just like talking to everybody. He's like in on every beer pong game possible. So you got like that. You've got a guy like Willie Cauley-Stein, who has come from a lousy situation in Sacramento with, and he's said this, just like a situation that had a losing type of culture to a situation where there's a winning type of culture. It's literally the opposite, despite only, you know, being an hour and a half away. So you got him just sort of appreciating it. And you just kind of go down the line, and everybody has individual reasons to appreciate being there. And when you take the expectations off of it, right? When you take the expectations of winning off of this thing, when Curry and Clay and Draymond are all down, well, now they're playing with house money, right? I mean, this is you and me at the craps table, up $200 in chips and just like ready to go, right?
Yeah.
So that's basically what this season is for them, and I think the vibe, despite, you know, the losses are will wear on them eventually. It's still early in the season; they're gonna lose a lot more games, but for the most part, the players. Are pretty positive. I think the guy to worry about is somebody like Steve Kerr, who wants to win really, really bad, knows nothing but winning as a head coach in the NBA. That, to me, is the guy you can kind of see his mood fluctuate more than anybody else.
That was going to be my exact next question. How does Steve Kerr seem to be handling it so far? I'm sure eventually it'll definitely wear on him, but, you know, through the first week or so, how does he seem to be dealing with it?
He's trying to talk himself into it a lot, it feels like. He keeps saying like, hey, you know, it's not really about this. It's about development. It's about winning. Or it's not about winning. It's about development. It's about teaching. It's about these things. I'm really excited for these young guys to have the opportunity. It's like, Steve, you're saying this a lot, man. Are you okay? Are you good? Like, it's kind of my reaction to it. But, you know, somebody – like having a guy like Mike Brown, who is super used to losing a lot as a head coach. But – also developing young talent and kind of having been through this, Steve's relying a lot on him. And then, so he's got guys around that have experience doing this to sort of bracket him and kind of keep him in place. I think eventually Steve will get to a point where there's just acceptance. He mentioned the other night, he was like, I think he started turning the corner. He was like, look, I'm not even going to waste clipboards, because we know that Steve likes to break clipboards. He's like, he's already broken one early this season. He's like, this will be a one clipboard season. So that's the goal he set for himself. We'll see if he keeps doing it.
He's good at that too. I mean, like, I've never tried to break a clipboard.
Clean break.
But clean break
every time.
Every time.
Impressive.
It's like the martial artist breaking bricks. Like, just, he's good. I'm not going to lie. So I just want to toss it off to you, man. Like, give us a rundown. What have you seen? Just being there every day, you know, a peek behind the curtains. Like, we saw Draymond come out after Paschal's big game against Portland and, you know, show him some love. Didn't even know he was in the building, you know? So, like, is there anything you can pass along to us that you've been seeing that, you know, we might not have seen?
I've been trying to sprinkle it in here and there on these podcasts, but just in general, I think, you know, guys like D'Angelo and Clay and Draymond are going to be around the team. It seems like a lot more, especially at home games. And Steph was watching the game from his place, we saw on Instagram. I expect he'll be around the team a lot more going forward. Once he gets through this initial rehab situation, this initial surgery recovery, I should say, situation that he's going through. But for the most part, on the road, I think that's when you start to glean a lot more from this team. And there was a situation earlier in the season where these young guys didn't really know how to interact with the vets. Like, first of all these young guys are like just like still moving into their apartments in San Francisco and stuff, which we know how difficult that could be. But, you know, they wanted to, like, hang out with some of the vets. So, like, they want to hang out with Draymond, Steph, and Clay, and all these guys. And that's just, like, not really how the NBA works. It's not like a college team where, you know, everybody goes to the dining hall after practice, right? It's very different. So I think that took them some getting used to. Like, just basically, I'm not going to say they got, like, shot down by the vets. But, like, the vets were like, I have a family and kids to get to. And I have to go to, you know, Safeway and buy some groceries. Like, I don't have time to go play Halo with you. So I think that that was pretty interesting early in the season. And now that they're kind of cleared out, it feels like the young guys have really taken control of that locker room. And it does feel like youthful. It actually feels like I covered college basketball for a couple seasons over at UCF going Knights. It kind of feels like that kind of environment where there's all young guys. They're all basically the same age and they all just like want to do this. Like they're just, this is what they're doing. The most veteran of the group is kind of D'Angelo Russell, who's been out for the last couple games. And he's really the only veteran. I know he's 23, but he acts like a veteran because he's got all these like outside business interests.
Yeah.
And so he's a little bit like that. But other than that, everybody's just here to play hoops.
And that's a great point you made, though. The bonding and the things like that and the hanging out happens on the road. Because like you said, right. when they're at home, Steph's got three kids to get home to. He's got a baby. You know, same thing with Draymond. Clay's got the dog. On the road when, you know, they're away from all they have is, you know, their teammates, that's when the bonding happens. So that's a good point. So definitely I'll ask you more about that in the coming weeks. Waiting for some good stories about, you know, drunken brawls or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, I've got Houston and Minnesota and then it'll be in Oklahoma. So I'm sure I'll come back with some stories.
Definitely. Definitely. Well, Wes, another good one, man. Enjoy tonight's game. I'm sure we'll talk after it. Break that thing down. And I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen, man. Probably a Warriors loss.
Probably.
We'll see. Well, yeah. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening to Locked On Warriors. We'll be back tomorrow with another episode here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.